Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday family night. Hallelujah. God is so good. Are you ready to praise the Lord? Gotta get my keyboard working right. Come on, stand on your feet. Yeah, that's good. You ready? Here we go. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Come on, he has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
Hey!
the Lord, oh my soul.
Lord, we come to you tonight thanking you and giving you praise and honor and glory. Lord, for you are worthy of our praise tonight.
Yes, yes.
God, you've been so good to us, so good to us, Lord. Thank you for another year, oh Lord. Thank you for another year to serve you and worship you and praise you. Lord, we just come now asking for your blessings upon us, Lord. Asking for your favor to be on us, Lord. That your protection to be on us, Lord. Your healing power to be on us, Lord. Lord, we ask you for blessings, Lord, that you've never done before. Lord, we ask you to bless this church. Bless the saints of this church, oh God. Lord, have your way this year. Lord, we come to you seeking your will and looking for your will, God. It's wanting to praise you and give you all the glory that you deserve, oh God.
Yes.
For Lord,
yes.
You are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. And Lord, we ask you just to bless our leaders of the church, oh God, our board, our deacons, our pastors, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. Encourage them, oh God. Give them, Lord, encouragement and a drive, oh Lord, to seek you and to help lead us, Lord, in this coming year. And God, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are holy. You are righteous, oh God. Lord, there is none other. There is none other, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's do our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you give me the desires of my heart. Because you are a reward of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, put those hands together and give God praise. Go around and greet a couple of people, and we're not going to dismiss the youth just yet, but here in a minute we will. I just want to share a couple of things, but just go greet a few people. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing good? Yeah, just trying to get that light down just a bit. Still kind of. Whew. It's cold outside. Good to see everybody tonight. I just wanted to, before we dismiss the youth, just say how much we appreciate the youth being here tonight. And, man, I tell you what, I know it was just five of them in the Christmas gift, but they did such an awesome job. Awesome job. Matter of fact, I think all five of them are here. Come on up and do it now. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to just say something, I guess, about Wednesday nights that, you know, our desire and our goal is to obviously come in and have a great time of fellowship together. And moving forward this year, I know last year we did just one verse Bible study, but really it wasn't one verse because we was doing all kind of verse.
But our desire on Wednesdays is to break off into various groups. And right now, really, the groups that we have the adults, we have the youth, and we have the children, and if we have children here. But we also desire to incorporate other groups. For example, young couples. A time, and this is not every week, but maybe once or twice a month, where we have a group where young couples meet together. Mothers, young mothers, and so as we kind of move forward in the year, you might be hearing some of those things, and we'll have sort of a schedule where certain groups will meet possibly on the first and third Wednesday. This is after corporate worship, right? And then maybe on the second and fourth Wednesday, other groups will meet. And so if you desire to be a part of a group or to start a group, and it's all about fellowship, right? It doesn't have to be like Bible study. I think Mom's not here, but she has, you know, she likes to crochet. I think we had a crochet group. We got, y'all don't know this, but we got a group of men here at the church that play dominoes. That's a group. They can do that. That's fellowship. It's fellowship. So if you desire to start a group or be a part of a group, just let myself know or Griselda, and we'll kind of try to get that going. All right, because we want Wednesday truly to be a family night. Now, so the adult Bible study will always be here. That's what we'll call it, the adult Bible study. So the adults will stay in here and we'll study the Word. I think what I'm going to do moving forward, unless I find a particular book, and we can do that we're going to study, I may, like I'll do tonight, I may just sort of piggyback on what I've taught the previous Sunday or what I'm thinking about preaching the Sunday coming up. But whatever it is, we're going to study the Word of God, and it's going to be good. The youth are going to always go into the fellowship hall and have their time of fellowship and games and pizza. And I want you to pray with us, because we are really in need of energetic youth leaders, because our youth, you know, they're energetic, and they love you know, Pastor A and Pastor S, but our plates are already full, and we need to kind of release that and allow some other leaders to take that on. And while we're on it, they've already expressed that they want to go back to Texas this year. Is that right? Y'all want to go back to Texas? And so we're going to make that happen there in June, I believe. So I just wanted to sort of share that to let you all know kind of where we're headed this year. I'm going to share more about where we're headed as a church this coming Sunday in my State of the Church address, but I just wanted to kind of let you know that. Now, youth, y'all can go. Let's give our youth a hand and our children. All right. Y'all ready? Look at somebody and say, it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. Great year. Great. You have what you say. Come on, tell somebody else, this is going to be a great year. Got some exciting things to share with you Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. So let's do this tonight. Maybe pick up from where we left off Sunday, and I want to point out a couple of other more things in regards to the message I spoke Sunday, which was entitled Shine, and that's going to be part of our theme. I'm going to really reveal or share what the specific it's going to be about shining, but Sunday I spoke from Isaiah the 60th chapter, Isaiah 60 verse 1-3, and we'll discuss. And I even have maybe a couple of questions to ask you all tonight. But let's turn to Isaiah the 60th chapter. And I'll read from the New American Standard Bible, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. How many of you have the glory of the Lord? For behold, darkness will cover the earth. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Look at somebody and say, that means you. That means you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And so we really focused last Sunday, on the whole shine piece. And I think it's important that we really grasp that God desires for us to arise and shine and understand that our light has come, or our light has been exposed, if you will, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. But I didn't say much about the darkness part, verse 2. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness to peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. It's interesting how you can read something that was spoken thousands of years ago, and it is so applicable and appropriate to today. Because how many of you know that darkness has covered the earth, even now? And that word darkness, that word darkness means obscurity. I meant to do this early. I'm gonna ask Siri a question. What's another word for obscurity?
Synonyms for obscurity include insignificance, inconspicuousness, unimportance, anonymity, and lack of fame, renown, honor, recognition.
So synonyms for obscurity are insignificance.
Synonyms for obscurity. Insignificance.
Inconspicuousness. Unimportance. Anonymity.
Lack of fame, renown, honor, or recognition.
So that's really what that is sort of wrapped up in that darkness. Obscurity, insignificance, inconspicuousness, unimportance, ignorance. That's a good one. Yeah. What she got something to say? She lack of light. Light. Lack of light. The absence of light. Which means obscurity means difficult. It's difficult to understand. Which means confusion. Confusion. Right? For behold, confusion will cover the earth. There's a verse in Jeremiah 3:25. I'm reading it from the King James Version. Jeremiah 3:25 says, "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us." All right? So people who are in sin, who are in darkness, are covered in confusion and obscurity. As a matter of fact, I didn't have this in my notes, but let me see. John 3, I believe. Let's see. Right after, I think it's John 3:17. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that that the world might be saved through him." That's why God sent his Son, right? Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." 19, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the what? Darkness rather than the light." Can somebody explain to me how you would love darkness rather than light? Here's the reason why. "For their deeds were evil." For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed, but he who practices the truth comes to the light. Comes to the light. So that darkness is confusion. It's obscurity. Darkness also means to grow dim. And that just kind of hit me this morning. Something that is growing is alive. Darkness is sort of like a parasite or amoeba that feeds off of things and continues to grow. Darkness, I think we can all possibly agree. I'm 61 years old. That when years ago, when we were younger, maybe the world wasn't as bad as it is now. It seems like every decade or so, it just goes to a whole nother level. You can't even watch commercials now. I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking about this. Years ago, just sort of the progression of TV. Years ago, the I Love Lucy show, okay? Popular show, right? They did not even want to show Lucy and Ricky in the same bed. They in the bedroom in two twin beds. Dick Van Dyke too. So I mean, you go back to all those shows. There was very little. You know, they didn't want to even touch those kind of things. Now you look at today. Crazy, right? So the darkness of this world has grown. It has grown dim, you know, as time goes on. All right, so here we're just talking here, but what would be some obvious signs of darkness in our world today? I've already mentioned a few, but what would you see as some obvious signs of darkness in our world? Violence. Our world is much more violent than it was years ago. I mean, back in the day, you could leave your house. You didn't necessarily need to worry about locking your door and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now, all right, violent. Yeah, anybody else? Somebody else? Rainbow alphabet, folks. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So true. Years ago, on TV, you never saw two people of the same sex expressing, affection. My mind just couldn't do it. The other day I was coming out of Sam's. I'm right up here in Owosso. Holy Ghost filled Owosso. No, I'm just, you know what? Coming out and two guys holding hands, walking in. And I was like, in my head, I was thinking, really? Here? You know, but that's the world we're. And okay, so, you know, Johnny, why do you have to even bring this up? Okay, so why you gotta use the rainbow? Why you gotta use something that God used to show us how much he loved us? Why? Y'all about to get mad up in here. No. I just want to tell them, that ain't yours. That's God's rainbow. It means something totally different. But yeah, that's, you can hardly go anywhere. And you know, and here's the other thing. We have to love all. And there's very few people who aren't touched by this in some way. They have a family member, or a cousin, or a friend, or somebody who is in that lifestyle. And you have to pray, you have to love them, and you have to shine. But what we don't do is hate, and sort of getting debates, et cetera, and fuss at people and all of that. You have to love. We have to love them. We have to love them like Christ loves us, right? All right. Didn't mean to get all into that, but it's Johnny's fault. He brought up the rainbow. All right, so we got violence, and we have alternative lifestyles. What else? Yes? Dissipation of the nuclear family. I like the way you say that. Can you say it like the traditional family? Yeah. 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 That's so true. And because to me, that is sort of the bedrock, one of the what do you call it, the foundations of our country and of our world, really, is a husband, a man, and a woman, wife together with children, the family. And I think in many ways the devil has attacked that in our society, taking husbands out of the home and all of that. So yes, that's, yeah. Somebody else? Lack of prayer. Yeah. So that's an indictment on the church, right? Yeah. Good. Somebody else? Yeah. Yeah. So years ago, the church was the majority, right? In terms of, not in terms necessarily of number, but well respected in the community, well respected, and you know, everybody went to church, even if you weren't saved, you did your dirt and stuff during the week, but everybody came to church. Now the church is the Christians are the minority. Oh, you one of them? Like it's foreign, you know, and so sin has become more common. Darkness has become more common and acceptable. And so, yeah. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to Genesis, the first chapter, because when I read verse 2 of Isaiah 60, where it says, "And darkness will cover the earth," I immediately thought about Genesis, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be what? And there was light." Verse 4, "God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." "God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day." So notice in verse 2 that even, yeah, I hear you. I got it. It's in my notes. I do. Notice in verse 2 that even though darkness covered the deep, the Spirit of God was still moving or hovering over the darkness. Now that ought to make you happy right there. That even though we've already said tonight that darkness covers the earth and darkness is growing, but the Spirit of God is still here. We still have the Spirit of God that leads us and guides us and keeps us and teaches us and shows us all things. We have the Spirit of God that moves, that is moving in this earth, moving in this world. Listen, that's what we need to tap into. In the midst of the darkness, we need to tap into the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is still moving. Listen, if the Spirit of God is not moving, we all just need to pack it up and go home. We come to church on Wednesdays. We come to church on Sundays because even in the midst of a dark world, God is still moving. Old song, y'all know this. God is moving by his Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders in his moving. Here's the prayer. Move, O Lord, in me. Listen, it doesn't matter how dark it gets in our world. Doesn't matter how many times you got to turn off the TV or flip the channel or turn off the TV or, you know, not do certain things or, you know, have to, you know, go to a restaurant and be waited on by someone who, you know is in that lifestyle. And you just, you know, just you just have to deal with that. That's the world that we live in. But in spite of all of that, we have the Spirit of God. That, listen, that's why it's so important that we always shine, because no matter where we go, we're going to come in contact with some darkness. We have to be willing to shine in the midst of it. You have to be willing to shine. So the Spirit of God is our refuge and hope in the midst of a dark world. Now look at verse 4. It says, and God saw the light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Notice, I have this right here in my notes. Notice in verse 4 that God said the light was good. He did not say that the darkness was good. You know what that tells me? The darkness ain't good. If God didn't say it was good, and listen, He disliked the darkness so much that he separated the light from the darkness. And he said, listen, I don't want the light to be disturbed by this darkness. Okay? What does the scripture say something about be separate? I can't remember. All right. It'll come to me. But the darkness, listen, the light is good and the darkness is bad. All right? So I'm going to give you, anybody have any comments or questions so far? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We walk by faith, not by sight, but by His Spirit. Yeah. And, you know, it's not always easy. But God gives us the grace. I shared this earlier this year, but here are some characteristics of light. And as we read these, I want you to sort of appropriate that to your life, appropriate it to the light that you have, that God has given us to shine. Here's a couple of characteristics of light. Light is a beam of energy that travels in wavelengths, similar to the ripples created when you throw a rock in a pond, right? So that's how light travels. It travels in waves. Waves, your light travels in waves of the Spirit, right? There is a flow. The Holy Spirit flowing in your life allows that light to shine, and it comes in waves, and you know, waves in the ocean have the ability to overwhelm, right? Your light can, the light of God shining out of you, shining through you, can overcome people and the darkness that they are experiencing, right? You have to believe that the light of God in your life has the power and ability to do that. It's not what you say. It's not how many scriptures you can quote. All that is nothing wrong with that. But really, it's just simply you, your life, you being there, you being in the atmosphere, and allowing people to experience the essence of who God is that's coming out of your life. So light is a beam of energy. Amazingly, light energy is always moving and can therefore not be stored. So light is alive. We talked about how darkness is sort of, you know, grows dim, has a certain life to it. Light, even more so. You can't contain the light. You can't contain it. Right? You can't put light in a box. Okay? Light travels very fast, approximately 186,000 miles per second. You know why you see a light in the sky and then a few seconds after that you hear thunder? Thunder is actually the sound of lightning hitting the earth. Right? That's when you see the lightning, that is thunder hitting the earth. After that you hear the sound. And the reason is because light travels faster than sound. We see the light before we hear the sound. Light travels fast. And here's the best thing of it all. Light dispels darkness. I believe when God separated the light from the darkness, what he did is he gave light the authority and the power over darkness. Light will always rule and have dominion over the darkness. That should make you happy. That should make you happy. So I said all that to say that you know, there's a verse. I always give Miss Jane my notes from the previous Sunday, but I'm gonna give it to her now. But I'm gonna read this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:6, NIV. Says, this is what we were talking about. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. We just read that in Genesis. For God who said, let there be light, made his light shine in our hearts. The same God who said, let there be light, said, let there be light in us. He sent his son. Jesus is the light of the world. Shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God, glory displayed in the face of Christ. Here you go, Miss Jane. I don't know. It's just, I think I do know. That's encouraging. How many of you need encouragement every now and then? This is encouraging to me because no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, no matter, you know, things on our job and things, you know, whatever the situation is that would try to create dimness or darkness or obscurity in your life, you have the light of God. I want to encourage you this year to not allow things to distract or to dim your light. Don't allow anything that comes into your life to dim your light. Let me close with this psalm. Let's go to Psalm 80. Any other comments or questions? And you know, if you have a, I'm really praying about maybe doing a particular study in a book. We'll see. That's something that we might do before the end of the year. But if you have a particular subject that you know, would like to maybe discuss in this during this time, see what the Word of God says. I'm all for that. So just let me know. All right, so Psalm, the 80th Psalm, it says, the title of it, or the caption, it says, God implored to rescue his people from their calamities. It's not a Psalm of David. Asaph wrote this Psalm. I'll just start reading verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to pick out a few verses, but I'll start reading verse 1. Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock. Lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim. Shine forth. That's the prayer. Shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your power and come to save us. In verse 3, O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. Let's read this verse together. Let's just read it. Ready? Begin. O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. Come on, let's say it again. O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. So if you go to verse, I said this is the last verse, but it's not. I got one more. If you go to verse 7, it says the same thing. O God of hosts, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. And then again in verse 19 to close this psalm. O Lord God of hosts, restore us, cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. We are asking God to restore us, restore what the enemy has tried to take away, restore the joy of our salvation, restore the blessings flowing in our lives, restore anything that has been taken or made obscure by the darkness. Restore it. And we're asking God to shine on us. Why are we asking God to shine on us? Because the only way we can shine is if God shines on us. That's how we shine. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to fellowship. That's why we spend time in the presence of God, to get that shine. I come to get the shine. I come to get restored in the presence of God. So we're asking God to shine on us so that we can then shine the light of his salvation. We can't give out what we haven't received. Sort of like, you know, you charge something, and after you charge it, then it's ready to go. We come to get charged. You need to charge up your light, get so you can shine bright. Because life and stuff, if you don't get recharged, it sucks it out of you, right? And I will close with this. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" The Lord is the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Any comments or questions? Yes. I don't remember what he said. I don't know what you're talking about. about us. Walk by faith. Yes. If you can recall what you said.
If someone breaks in your house and it's dark, you know how to navigate better than the enemy, right? So you know how to operate in the darkness, just like in this world. We know how to operate with God because we're familiar with him. And the enemy tries to come attack, we know how to navigate, just like you would in your own house. If someone comes to break in, you could kind of get away from them. Yeah, go back and watch, because
When you talked about we have to, in the world, we have to. We walk by, you got to go back and watch. We walk by faith. He helps us to walk by faith and not by sight in the darkness. You don't remember what you said, huh? It's all right. That was the Lord. No, it's good. It's good. Well, we do have to walk. We do walk. We walk by faith. You know, the scripture says, Matthew 5. This is the one light scripture that we all know. Let your light so shine, right? And so sometimes when you read that, you kind of think, well, you know, that's something you can turn on and turn off. It really isn't. It's not like you can, okay, I'm going to shine today. Power Rangers! No. It is more let your light shine. The way that you let your light shine is to ask God to shine on you, to get in his presence, to spend time in his presence. And as you do that, then you get the fruit. That's how you shine. Yes. Hold on. We got somebody talking up here. Yes. 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 Yep. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. That's awesome. Good word. Good word. Yeah, you know, people that are in the world cannot comprehend why we are how we are, why we live the way we live. You know, they don't understand it. It's foreign to them because their spirit man is dead, right? And that's the difference. We have the light shining in and through us, right? Light is good, darkness is bad. Anybody else? Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your light. And Lord, that is our prayer, that you would restore us and shine on us, Lord, that we may be saved. That is our prayer, not just tonight, but the rest of this year. Restore us, God. We pray for restoration in our personal lives. We pray for restoration in our homes. We pray for restoration in our church, God. We pray for a newness and vitality and brightness. God, we want to shine bright. We want to shine bright in 2024. And that is what our prayer is this year. That is what our desire is, that you would shine forth in us and put your presence on display, God. And may many leave the darkness and come to the light. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. Bless every home, every person here tonight, those watching online. We just thank you, Father, and bring us back this coming Sunday for a powerful time in your presence. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I want to remind you that the end of this month, we're having our first ever worship conference. It's the Presence Worship Conference 2024. The dates are January 25th, 26th, and 27th. It's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have special guests coming in. And how many of you are familiar with David and Nicole Binion? No? Well, you look them up. Look them up. I'm going to tell you, just look them up. They're husband and wife team. They pastor in Texas, and they recording artist worshipers and have a powerful ministry. And so, matter of fact, they're the church that they're the pastors where the Lymans, Steve and Lisa Lyman, who are on our board, that's the church that they attend there in Texas. But they're going to come up and minister on that Saturday night. And Thursday and Friday, we're having other people that are going to come in and worship, and we'll have a speaker every night. And so I'm pretty excited about it because we've never, in the more than 15 years, we've never really had a conference here. But this is something that we're planning to do every year, the last month in January, to have a worship conference. We're inviting worship leaders, worship teams, and people who just love to worship to come and experience the presence of God and be encouraged and inspired. And I think it's a great way to start off the year. Matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going up to KXOJ to record a radio spot. And so those spots will start running sometime here on KXOJ here in the next couple of weeks or so. So anyway, that's wanted to make you all aware of that. And we're going to listen. We want this conference. We want the people that come to be. Now I'm speaking to our team members, et cetera, but we want when people to come to have an awesome experience. So we want their experience to start right at that door when they come in, or this door, and we want people to have an awesome time. And so we're going to talk about ways that we can make this conference the absolute best that it can be, how we can shine bright. Amen? All right. We love you. God bless you. Lift those hands toward heaven. I know I pray, but I'm going to give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you.